The farmer you heard Ella talking to there, Larry Curtin, one of those best practice examples of farming, that provides the backdrop to our next conversation now, because elsewhere this week, water quality stayed high up the agenda as the EPA published its annual report on the quality of water in our rivers, lakes and estuaries, and it reveals that overall there has been no improvement in water quality. Those whose businesses are dependent on Ireland retaining its nitrates derogation in the face of strong signals from Brussels that it's going to be lost were hoping that these results would reflect the many improvements that have been made on a lot of farms to decrease the negative impacts of farming on water quality, but they didn't. So what does that mean has to be done between now and decision time on the derogation in 18 months? Eddie Burgess is an agricultural catchment specialist with Chagask, and he's been working on the issue of water quality for 15 years. Good morning to you, Eddie.
Good morning, Philip. Good
this morning. Is obviously Thank about you. More than the derogation, but it will be at the top of many a derogation farmer's mind. So can I ask you a big picture question to which there might not be an answer? Is it theoretically feasible in the course of the next year and a half to change enough farming practices to achieve the results required?
Oh, you start with an easy question, Philip. certainly, it's going to be very, very difficult. I think the key part of that question is the results required, and I think do we have clarity on what those results required need to be? I know the commissioner visited Ireland last year, and he said that we need to see where water quality is high and good, that it stays there, and where it's not, we need to see improvements. And I think it is possible to see improvements in water quality in the next year and a half.
Yeah, there is very much a political piece as well as a scientific piece to this. On that, though, Eddie, I'm just wondering, because nitrates pass from the soil into the water in the natural course of events, even if there was to be no farming, no spreading of any kind of fertilizer or slurry, and the more rain that there is, the more of those nitrates that will pass into rivers and into lakes. Is it likely that recent weather patterns are going to frustrate any efforts that farmers make here?
Absolutely. There is no doubt that the more extreme weather patterns that we seem to be getting now are making the job of achieving high water quality status more difficult than it was 10 years ago, and more difficult. It will be even more difficult again in 10 years' time if extreme weather events are more likely to come. And we have an example from that a month ago in one of our catchments. I work with six areas that are monitored at a very high intensity. Every 10 minutes, we take a sample. Mm-hmm. And there was an extremely heavy shower of rain at our catchment in Castle Dockrell near Bunclody in County Wexford, between Bunclody and Enniscorthy. In 20 minutes, we had 20 millimetres of rainfall. And in the following hour, we had another 10 millimetres. So a total of 30 mil fell in less than an hour and a half. And everywhere was flooded. It was on social media. The road would look like a river. Mm-hmm. But in the 12-hour period following that, our monitoring station measured very close to twice the annual average phosphorus loss in 12 years. What typically leaves in 1 year, twice that left in a 12-hour period. Extreme weather.
Can I see, do I understand you correctly here? One shower on one day in an hour and a half generated the passage of a year's worth of nutrients into the rivers and lakes?
No, 2 years.
2 years. 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years. Yeah.
Incidentally, when you say that you're monitoring six catchments at a much more detailed level than the EPA would be monitoring, do your results overall tally, and I know it's only in six and not in 46 catchments around the country, but do your results tally with what the EPA is getting?
They do. They do very much. And a lot of people, we have a greater in-depth knowledge of the processes that influence water quality, and we don't miss anything because we're sampling every 10 minutes and we're measuring the volume continuously leaving the river. But our results, we're measuring the same things as the EPA, and we have a far greater detail of knowledge on a very much smaller area at only six sites in comparison to close to 5,000 sites being done by the EPA.
Okay.
And ideally, we want to combine our results to give a more informed knowledge of what's happening nationally. If we combine our in-depth knowledge at a small number of locations with the more widespread country reporting and monitoring, but at a much lower frequency. And that will inform what we need to do to achieve the required water quality. And it is informing it, that is what is happening at the moment.
Eddie, stocking rates or herd size is something that is dominating the conversation in relation to water quality. But from what you're saying, that conversation needs to be a lot more nuanced, because we need to start taking the soil type on individual farms into account. Does that suggest to you that each and every farm needs its own water quality plan?
Yes. And in some cases, different parts of a farm need their own water quality plan. I find we need to be specific. If we want to improve water quality nationally, I think using the term water quality doesn't help. There are different aspects to water quality. I was talking to you a few months ago on the Allo catchment, which is a blue dot, and the river water quality had improved there. There may be problems with nitrogen coming from very high water quality rivers, but the nitrate is a different issue to river water quality, and nitrate doesn't present a problem until it gets into salty water, until it gets into the estuary and into the sea. It comes from the land. Nitrate comes from all the land. It's a soil. It comes from the soil. So the most predominant land use is going to be the biggest pressure on nitrate loss. But it comes from hot spots within the land. And free draining soils are much more likely to be a problem for nitrate, not for phosphorus. And ironically, we have locations, the river catchments where the rivers, the fresh water upstream from the estuary, are good, are high quality, are also contributing to poor quality water in the estuary because of nitrate. And we need to be specific when we're targeting these problems. Rather than saying we have to tackle water quality and average results over the year for water quality, don't focus enough on what the problem is to try and improve the situation.
Okay. Do we, though, have the tools and the techniques that we need? All of the things we've already heard this morning, multi-species swards, riparian borders and so on, or do we need some other silver bullet here?
There isn't a silver bullet.
I kind of knew that when I asked you that.
There isn't a silver bullet, and it isn't the remit of any individual sector either. The derogation and the pressure on the derogation decision coming, which is going to start in probably 6 months' time, the whole process will start in 6 months. The pressure on that has focused the attention on the most intensive grass-based agricultural systems, and those farmers are very engaged in water quality.
But tillage needs to do its thing. Sheep farming needs to do its piece as well.
We all need to do our piece. Like, there's, give or take, 130,000 people managing land in the country. In the derogation, we have 6,000 and maybe another 5,000 over with a grassland stocking rate over 170 that either have tillage crops on their farm or are exporting manure. If they were all brought back to under 170, it's not going to change the metrics of water quality massively. Everybody needs to do their part. And different people in different settings with different enterprises are going to have to do different things. And that's why we have schemes now like the Waters EIP, that and we have the ASAP advisors with dairy co-ops, yeah, being funded by Dairy Industry Ireland and by the Department of Housing and through Chagask. We have co-ops implementing subsidized payments for milk to encourage people to put in measures. We have Chagas recently launched their own water quality campaign, and this is all to target the right measure at the right time, at the right place. And I want to emphasize the right time. The timing of nutrient loss, specifically for nitrogen, is very specific.
Yeah.
For nitrate loss to occur, we need two things. We need to have water moving down through the soil. So the soil needs to be wet in the first place, and it needs to be raining on top of it. And at that time, for nitrate to be lost, there needs to be a surplus of nitrate in the soil above what the crop requires. And okay. If we want to solve the problem, we need to break that. We need to either stop the water moving down through the soil, which is not practical, or remove the surplus of nitrogen at that time of the year.
Okay.
And I've said that most nitrates, half the nitrate leaves during the closed period for spreading slurry, but if we extend that a little bit, over 80% of the nitrate leaving the soil, which eventually will end up in the estuary, occurs from towards the end of October until the end of March.
Okay, so time very much of the essence, not just in time of year and the amount of rainfall that's about, but also with just 6 months of sampling before the publication of the next 2025 water quality report from the EPA, time very, very much of the essence. Eddie Burgess of Chagas, thank you very much. We'll take a break.